thing that travels throughout the different books of the Bible, that where they're consistent throughout. And they're referenced a large number of times. So like the number three is referenced like 347 times according to ESV. I'll stick to ESV when I'm quoting the number of references. I did check other versions. They're not significantly dissimilar. So an example of that would be like Matthew 12:40, for just as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Three just keeps showing up like that. Seven, same idea, 483 references. Matthew 18:21-22, Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. That's a lot of sevens. 147 instances of 12, mostly referencing either the tribes of Israel or the number of apostles. Infinity is not directly referenced at all. If you search for infinite or infinity in ESV, it's not there. It's in that form, it's referenced zero times, which begs the question, why do we care? And the fact is, it's referenced a lot of times, it's just not referenced in that form, right? All of the references to infinity are actually one step removed from directly saying infinity. There are terms like all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, all-good, eternally forgiving, perfect judge. All of those indirectly referencing infinity. So something like infinite time, which we give the term eternal or everlasting, which have 75 and 62 references, shows up in a verse that people don't ever memorize, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we're talking about infinite time, or infinitely much. And it's a slight stretch, but infinitely much meaning, which we usually reference saying all, right? I would quote the number of references, but that's a little bit cheating because there's phrases like all the tribes of Israel, which is not infinitely much, that's 12. But in verses like Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. That all, that's all things. Mark, the start of Mark 3:28, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of men. And the third one I want to highlight is infinite quality, which we use the word perfect. So Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's infinite quality. So I think we settled the fact that infinity is referenced, is just not referenced directly. So then, what is infinity? And I think people want to they want to describe it as a number. Technically speaking, and I like technically speaking, infinity is not a number, it's a numerical concept describing something without bound. This is directly from Wikipedia. describing something without bound or larger than any natural number. It gets used occasionally in common conversation as just a big number. Well, that's infinity. Well, I'm going to do something infinity times. No, you're probably not. Especially for like smaller children. Yeah, well, I'm going to do it infinity times. No, you're not. But it becomes sort of a shorthand for something that you can't really like conceptualize the number, but it, you know, it's a big number. Infinity, it means more than that, though, is the thing. So as a way to sort of conceptualize it, in my head, at least. So if you had, this is the way that I think about it. If you had a way to reliably count every single grain of sand on like a massive, huge beach, okay? You pick up each one and say one, two, and keep going, okay? That is, and we'll assume you had enough time and enough focus and all of that to count every single one. That is then a countable number. Okay? That is, there is a finite number of grains of sand on the beach. That in the same way, each one of those grains of sand has a countable number of atoms inside it. According to the internet, it's roughly 50 million, million, million atoms inside it. Okay? And infinity is a numerical concept that is so much larger than the total number of atoms in the universe, not in the grains of sand on the beach. All of the atoms in all of the grains of sand, in all of the beaches, in all of the planets, in all of the universe, it is so much larger than that, that that number looks the same as one next to it. They react to infinity in exactly the same way. Which, of course, makes it really hard to contain the concept of that size in your brain, right? Imagining a number that large is almost physically impossible. Okay? And it's sort of at this point in time where people sort of like tune out and go, well, that's really big. Cool story. But you need to sort of like continue to try to, well, you can't contain it within your brain because that's the point, is it's an uncontained, uncountable concept. You have to try because that concept starts to sound like something else. It starts to sound like the way that the qualities of God are described in the Bible. It's like Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." God is saying, "I'm going back infinitely back in time, and I'm going infinitely forward in time." And even by just saying, "I am the beginning and the end," is still putting bounds on it so that we could try to understand how big that is. That's God being nice to us in terms of scale. I think sort of the common responses are to sort of go, well, that's really hard to conceptualize. Yeah, it is. I'm going to argue that you should try anyways. Or when I try and think big like that, it gives me a headache. Advil? So then the question becomes, if it's not possible to contain that kind of scale, that kind of size inside our brains, why bother to try? Why not just say, that's bigger than I can understand, and put it off to the side? And the answer is, it's impossible for you to gain a full understanding of that, but it's not impossible for you to move forward. In fact, it's infinitely possible for you to move forward. Just because you understand something a little bit better, in this case, still means you have infinitely more to learn. There's every time you learn something, you realize you have more to learn than you even realized you had. There's more space there and more for you to learn. And advancing your understanding of that is never going to be a bad thing. And realistically, isn't God worth trying to understand? Isn't it worth trying to understand how something like infinite amounts of forgiveness is even theoretically possible? Up to this point, I've been sort of talking totally theoretically in terms of what infinity means. I'm gonna take like a slight detour now into math directly. And this is basic level math, okay? Totally basic level math. This is not complicated math at all, okay? But math deals with infinity all the time, especially in higher level math, but it deals with it. It uses it in equations. They've figured out some things, and I think there are some things we can pull from that. Go back. So just really quick, some math terminology. The bottom five, I think everyone is familiar with. I liked typing in equals, equals, equals. that made me happy. The important one here, R, so the set of all real numbers. So this is an infinite set of every number that could be written down using some number of digits between 0 and 9, because that's how we represent numbers most of the time, and then a decimal point, and then some number of digits 0 to 9, okay? That is any one of those numbers, okay? I'm going to put up equations in just a second. In all of those equations, I'm assuming strictly positive real numbers, okay? Just because if you multiply by a negative, obviously things become negative and stuff like that. I'm going to assume positive real numbers for this moment, okay? That's because I don't want to hear complaints about how my equations are wrong because you didn't talk about what about the case where it's zero or the case where the number is negative. Okay? I know that it changes the equation. We're going to ignore those cases for the moment. Okay? All right, next. Okay. So, these are just, strictly speaking, mathematical properties of infinity in an equation, okay? Your top one, infinity added to some real positive real number, okay? In this case, all reals does actually apply. So that real number at there, in my mind, represents any real thing, okay? Where an infinite quality of God next to a finite quality that exists in the world becomes meaningless, because the scope and the scale of God's qualities are so much larger that they mean nothing next to it. You add a tiny little number to a giant number, it makes a tiny dent. And this number is so big that that dent is nothing. Okay? Next one. Infinity minus some real number. In my mind, this is representative of how God never runs out of his godness. I don't know if that statement is totally theologically sound. You can ask Dustin. He went to school for that. I do know that godness is not a real word. But if you pretend for a second that every sin takes away a tiny little bit of God's godness in order to forgive us, or something like that, or something along those lines. Each tiny bit is such a tiny bit relative to the infinite quality of God that it makes no difference whatsoever to the still massive quality of God, right? In a sort of massive understatement, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, there he wrote, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" that's a nice way of putting that into a box we can understand. Sufficient. It's sufficient for each and every person. Which leads us into infinity divided by some real number. In this case, in my mind, that's how God can be applied to every single person in the world right now. Not only can he be applied to every person right now, he can be applied to every person since the beginning of time and continue to be applied to every person until the sun explodes and the earth burns. Every person from the beginning of time to the end of time is still a theoretically countable number. That is a real number, and infinity divided by that real number still provides infinite grace and infinite love and infinite forgiveness for each person within that. Psalm 103:17, they said, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children." We're talking about infinitely back in time, infinitely forward in time, from generation to generation to generation. There is still infinite love from God for each person. I'm going to skip the one that equals zero. But infinity multiplied. I had trouble figuring out what this actually meant beyond just being addition a whole bunch of times. And what I came up with for this was that this is the easiest mathematical way that I can think of to sort of imagine the Trinity, where God the Father is infinite, Jesus is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite, but you take all three of those infinites, which is infinity times three, and you still just get an infinite, right? That's easy-ish for my mind to comprehend. I like it, other than it feels like reducing God to a number. Reducing God's qualities to a number sort of makes sense to me. Reducing God altogether to a number feels wrong. But I'm going to go with it for the moment. And if you have more questions about that, you should ask Dustin. But as you can see, infinity in the equation basically comes out to infinity. Okay? This is a totally meaningless equation. Okay? Totally meaningless. This is as big as I wanted to make an equation for my PowerPoint, and I just threw in like variables and stuff. Okay? It's not important because I don't think it actually signifies anything. The point with the equation is that if you take any one of the variables and you make it infinite, the whole equation simplifies to almost nothing. Right? You take an A and you make it infinite, there's more A's on the top than there is on the bottom, the whole equation is infinite. You take a B, there's more B's on the top than there is on the bottom, the whole equation, infinite. You don't have to do all the math. You don't have to work it all out like that. It just simplifies all of the math that's required. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the numbers are. I mean, once again, other than as long as we're assuming strictly positive roots. Okay? You start throwing in zeros and negatives, you can switch the sign. Okay? You still get like zero or negative infinity or an equation that can't be solved. So, and I think that's the important thing here, is that the infinite qualities of God can be applied in basically any circumstance, and it doesn't matter how many variables are involved in that circumstance and how complicated it might seem. The infinite qualities of God simplify the equation. Once again, I'm going to totally switch tracks just a little bit in order to apply infinity slightly differently. We're going to switch to sort of semi-applied statistics. Okay? Because everyone loves statistics. Mrs. Musto loves statistics. I help teach her statistics, that's why she loves them. But in this case, we're talking about statistics as they apply to heaven. And I think heaven is sort of the portion of the Bible that is full of infinites that I've been sort of like going around at the moment. Okay, I've been talking about the qualities of God. Those are infinite, but then the other massive time, frequently used time that the God, well, that sentence was not coming out. Frequently used time that the Bible is referencing infinity is when they're talking about heaven. We're talking about infinite reward for an infinite amount of time while avoiding infinite punishment for an infinite amount of time. Right? In Matthew 25:46, it said, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we're talking about infinite time. Okay? And Revelation 21:4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more, and there will be neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Infinitely good for an infinite amount of time. Now, what does that have to do with statistics? Okay? In my mind, it has everything to do with the applied statistics of betting on games of chance, which is a perfect topic for church. Okay? So, statistically speaking, there is a time for betting and a time to not bet based on the price required to place a bet, right? So, this is a simplified version, okay? This is a game, we'll say this wheel is like the Wheel of Fortune wheel, and you get to pay, and you get to go up, and you get to spin it, and whatever it lands on, that's the prize you win. Okay? If they say to you, it costs $30 for one spin, is that worth it? The answer is no.
No.
I wasn't actually expecting you to do the math. It works out to roughly 27, but the fact is, if they're charging people $30 a spin, the people running this game over the long term expects to make money because they're expecting to pay out roughly $27 per spin. Okay? And the way to work that out is really just 100 times 0.25 and plus 1 times 0.25 plus. So, okay? This is a totally simplified form of expected value. But it's all that we need for the sake of this argument because infinity simplifies the math. Okay? In a similar way, casinos, lotteries, all of those things, they guarantee themselves over the long run that they're going to make money. I looked it up a couple of weeks ago. Lotto 649 jackpot was $25 million, and you had a 1 in roughly $14 million chance of winning, which gives you an expected value per ticket of winning the jackpot of roughly $1.79. And charging $3 a ticket, they are guaranteed to make money. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed not to win, just means they're guaranteed to make money and your chances of losing are good. You should assume most of the time with lotteries and casinos that their chances of winning are good. They keep running for a reason. But what if we take this and we apply that to the concept of heaven, right? Which a French mathematician called Blaise Pascal did a while ago. And he came up with something called Pascal's Wager, which a lot of people have heard of. And he figured there's sort of two options in the massive metaphysical sense. Either God exists or God doesn't exist, right? And each person then has a choice. They can choose to believe in God or choose not to, right? And if God exists and you choose to believe, as we already discussed, infinite reward for an infinite amount of time, infinitely good. If you don't believe in God and God exists, infinite punishment for an infinite amount of time, infinitely bad. And then God doesn't exist. You believe or you don't believe, there might be some benefit one way or the other. I don't know how much actual benefit there is to not believing in God if he doesn't exist, but it's roughly even. But the point is that two of the squares are infinite and negative infinity, which then means that those real numbers of some amount of good or some amount of bad, they don't mean anything. They become meaningless in that equation. Right? So then, the only real question at that point on whether to believe in God or not believe in God is, do you believe that there is any probability that God exists? Right? Because if it is even the tiniest bit above zero, infinity takes over that mass, that equation, and infinity times some tiny percentage means that your expected value of believing in God is infinite. Right? Your expected value at that point is so big that you should be willing to bet everything. Right? Someone comes up to you and says, there is even a 1% chance that God exists, that you get infinite reward for believing in him. You bet everything you have. You sell your house, your car, you do whatever you need, you push everything you've got into that. Because it's worth it to bet everything you have for infinite reward. Right? And the only question in terms of determining whether or not you bet everything you have, is there any chance that God exists? And then you bet everything you have because it's worth betting everything you have for infinite reward. Logically, mathematically, it makes sense to bet everything you have. And, I mean, sort of luckily for us, God is not asking us to sell everything you have and pay that to somewhere. He's asking for faith, right? What I'm saying is, if God came to us and said, you need to sell all this stuff, we should be willing to do that. We should say, yeah, that cost means basically nothing next to infinite reward. As an added bonus, if God came to us and said that, we would be then convinced that he does exist. And as for the matter of whether or not that probability is non-zero, I don't see any logical way that anyone could argue that the probability that God exists is actually zero. even if for some reason science could come up with a way to prove a negative, which as far as I know they haven't yet, even then they would be doing tests based on a human understanding and using human instruments, which are still prone to errors and false positives and false negatives. There is nothing that exists that is still a 100 or a 0% chance ever. There is always a possibility of something. Now, what that probability is in your head, I don't know. But the fact is, because the reward is infinite, it doesn't matter what that probability is. Because if it's anything more than zero, you bet everything you have. I think the concept of infinity, the qualities of God that are infinite, are hard. They're hard in my mind. The concept in my mind of being willing to bet everything, that's hard. There's a lot of things I don't want to bet. And probably one of those would be standing in front of people talking for like 35 minutes. But I think we should be glad that the qualities of God are infinite. If God was finite, you could almost get up here and argue that you don't actually want other people to believe in God because you want more of him for yourself. Right? When you divide God by all the people who believe, you go, well, if he's finite, I want a bigger chunk. But we don't have to do that. And the infinite reward is worth it. So we should be doing what we can to convince more people. Because it doesn't affect how much is left over for us. And it means that our reward for having an awkward conversation or being, you know, the person who spends an hour and a bit listening to me talk on a Sunday morning, that's worth it. And in a certain sense, it makes almost logical sense that we don't understand God and we don't comprehend the size and the qualities of God because we can't wrap our minds around the infinite quality of God. But at the same time, we need to keep trying because even though we can't get to a complete understanding a little bit more is worth it. And it's worth trying. I'll pray. God, thank you for being infinite, for having infinite love and infinite forgiveness, and providing a system in which it makes logical sense put our faith in you, and I thank you for that, and I pray that we would be able to go this week and try to wrap our minds around the size and the scope of infinity.